We are back. I'm back. I'm here in my living room, and I am excited to share this next episode with all of you. I kicked the boys out tonight, or I should say, Freeman very kindly offered to take them out tonight so I could actually record in peace. So hopefully they don't just like barge in at any point in time. I was like, I will text you and tell you when I am done, and you can come home. And hopefully they listen. So if you hear any outside sounds, it could either be them or it could either be one of the seven cats, because they're going to get fed in the next 10 minutes. So you may hear the feeders and the cats running, skibbity pattering along the hardwood floor. But I'm so excited to be sitting here and recording this episode with you guys. This is going to be a doozy for those of you that are on my Instagram. You know that this is going to be a doozy because I've been talking a lot about this stuff. Anxiety and depression and depersonalization and trauma, all of that, and health issues, all of that on my Instagram. If you are not on my Instagram and you are not familiar with me or what's been going on, I'm going to be getting into it today. So this is going to be a pretty intense episode, but I want to begin the episode by giving you all a backstory of the last 5 months and my health and where I've been. So it paints the picture for today's episode, the meat of today's episode, and it totally applies. But you know, this is my podcast, so of course I want to share the personal parts of me and how they apply to lessons that I have learned. So let's get into today's episode. So the last 5 months have been literal hell on earth. I have suffered with some health issues that have been debilitating, that have completely depleted me, that have completely robbed my entire everything, my entire life, my movements, my personality, my creative art, like everything. I'm gonna try to keep this short, this part, but I wanna explain specifically what has been going on before I dive into what I have learned in the last 5 months. So let's just start with September. So September of 2023, fall of 2023, honestly, was just horrible. My husband lost his job of 11 years. So we were left all of a sudden with no cushion room money-wise and no benefits at all. And of course, all the health issues happen when you don't have benefits, right? That's what always seems to happen. Couple weeks after my husband loses his job, I'm out on a walk, having a bad mental health day, trying to just soak up some final sun in the fall, warm day, and I get attacked by a dog. Pretty traumatic, pretty awful. Fast forward to November, I get COVID, the worst I have ever gotten it, ever. I've gotten it 4 times now, and the last time I got it was just unexplainable, just horrific. 2 weeks after I get COVID, I'm driving home from New York City with AV, my son, in the car, and I'm an hour and a half away from home, and my vision gets very like blurred, and I can't see, and I'm like really, really dizzy, and I have no idea how I made it home, but I made it home. I was having a panic attack the entire time, but made it home. The week after that, I was like, I got to figure out what happened because this was really serious and really scary. And so I went to the eye doctor first and had my eyes checked for the first time in years and realized I did need glasses, but it was a very small prescription. And I knew that this was something deeper than just needing glasses. I went to the doctor, found out I had an ear infection, which was probably a result of lingering COVID somewhere in my body. And because of the ear infection, we assume that that is what happened when I was driving home, that I had like a really bad case of vertigo or a dizzy spell caused by the ear infection. So he put me on antibiotics, put me on prednisone, a steroid, and I completed both of those things, you know, that following week. After I was done, I was expecting to go back to feeling, you know, back to normal, and that didn't happen. I felt worse, and I felt really, really dizzy all of the time. Like my equilibrium was off. It felt like for those first couple of weeks, it felt like, you know, like the Pampered Chef salad spinners that you push to like dry the lettuce. That is what the inside of my head felt like for like most of December. We get through the holidays, we get into January, and I am still feeling these feelings. I have some days where like it's better than others, But then I have some days that are worse than others. And because it's off season, you know, I just want to relax. Like, I'm generally just laying around for the most part, catching up on my Bravo shows. But this past January felt a lot deeper. It felt a lot darker because we had no money coming in. And because of how awful the wedding industry has been in terms of booking, we had no money coming in. And it was the first time that I was literally scared out of my mind of where my life was headed. And I was depressed because I couldn't move. My everyday movements were now clouded with dizziness and off-balance feelings. And so I just laid. And I just laid on my couch and I just rotted every single day. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to do anything. And in addition to all of this, the winter time is really hard for me personally. If you didn't listen to my podcast episode before this, episode 2, where I talk about my phobia, I have a severe fear of throwing up. It's called emetophobia. And with that comes OCD. With that comes a lot of anxiety. And I also have panic disorder. So I have panic attacks that sometimes come on unprompted out of the middle of nowhere. And so the winter, whenever a lot of people are sick, is already a really, really hard time for me because people are sick everywhere and I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to get sick. So I just laid, all of January. No idea where it went, but I just laid. We get to February and, you know, maybe starting to have like a couple okay days. But still not 100%, still probably operating at like 50%. Quality of life felt like a 1, but I was able to operate at like maybe 50, maybe 40% some of the time. In the midst of this as well, I'm having occasional bouts of vertigo in the middle of the night, only in the middle of the night. And I've gotten vertigo once or twice before in my life before all of this had happened, but I'm super familiar with the Ebley maneuver and I had done that to myself. It's like a maneuver you can do whenever you have vertigo, which vertigo, if you're not familiar, it is not an actual diagnosis. It is a symptom of a diagnosis. And so what happens is the crystals in your ear become dislodged and it causes your body to go like into like basically like fight or flight and you get extremely dizzy. And so the vertigo was causing like the occasional vertigo was causing so much more anxiety in me because of me having the fear of throwing up. Vertigo causes you to throw up if you let yourself get to that point, and it also causes dizziness. And so it was absolutely terrifying, like worst case scenario in my life ever. So we get to March and we're like beginning of March. And I knew that I had a doctor's appointment coming up mid-March, basically, because we wanted to have a checkup. We wanted to see like where my ear was at, how it was doing. Was there still fluid on the ear or not? I was taking antihistamine for all of like December, January, February. I'm still taking the antihistamine and an allergy pill because that was my doctor's first solution was to do that. And so that's what I did. Wasn't really helping, but I think it helped some, but it wasn't taking away the fluid completely. So we get to beginning of March and I'm just starting to like hit a brick wall. I'm starting to come awake a little bit, a tiny, tiny bit. And I'm starting to get really pissed off because where is my solution? Am I going to have to live my life like this for the rest of my life? Like my brain is just, my brain was just like on 100 miles per hour, million thoughts just going through my brain, going through my mind. And I just like could not stop. In addition to this, I also suffer hypochondria. And so I am like addicted and was addicted to looking up my symptoms and looking up many different outcomes of what those symptoms could mean. I basically wanted to diagnose myself and figure out where I needed to go and what I needed to do. But it also sucked because to get to the doctor without health insurance takes money, but we don't have money because Freeman's not working and we're not booking weddings because nobody's booking weddings right now. So it was this like, if you guys have ever seen, I explained it to my one friend the other day about like the visual of this, you know, like the bottom of like news screens and you have like all like the stock market or like there's flashing news stuff at the bottom of the screen. It felt like my entire brain felt like that all of the time. And then when I would go to sleep, I wasn't sleeping well because I would wake up and I would be gasping for air in anxiety or an actual panic attack. There was never turning off ever. At all. It was just nonstop over and over and over and over again. I'm waking up in the middle of the night. I'm Googling symptoms in the middle of the night. Could not stop. I am trying my hardest to find little places where I can get a little bit of relief. So I start taking walks, and the walks are somewhat helpful. They seem to help lessen the fluid on my ear. And that was my main focus, was what can I do to lessen this fluid on my ear? So I'm taking these walks, I'm taking the antihistamine, I'm drinking so much water, and I start to watch my sodium intake because I know that sodium, you can retain water. And so I was trying to like lessen that going into my body. And, you know, like I said, it helped. Like my walks were helping. It was, you know, I was very determined every single day, but like I still was suffering with this. Like I would be out on my walks feeling like the earth is pulling me to the left because my left ear is the issue. Like my, or the left side of my body is the issue. And so it felt like something was pulling me down to the ground on my left side, which made it very difficult to move every day, all day. And so we get to the doctor's appointment to go in for my checkup. He checks my ear. He's like, you still have fluid on the ear. We need to schedule you with an ENT. I'm like, okay, great. Yep. I need that ASAP. So, I don't even wait for them to call me. I call them. I'm like, hey, I have a referral. I need to schedule like literally ASAP. I'm freaking out. Like I have like two flights coming up this summer. I'm like very scared to have an ear issue and get on a plane. Like I have all these other things going on. And they were very kind. They're like, all right, we'll get you in. So I get to the ENT and not really happy with the experience. I'm not going to go into depth about this, but he basically diagnoses me with, believe it or not, TMJ, which I... kind of was like, oh, wow, Sarah, you've been paying attention to your ear so much that you have completely forgotten about any and all other symptoms that you've been feeling in your jaw and in your face. And it kind of was like, aha, it all came together and it all made sense. And I went back in my mind and was like, what could have caused me to have this. And I've literally spent most of my life with panic attacks, you know, since I was in preschool, undiagnosed, no assistance, no medication, nothing. Because of that, I've had prolonged clenching of my jaw, just nonstop clenching, not really necessarily grinding, just tons and tons of clenching during the day too, like not just the nighttime, all day. I never realized all the years that my dentist was like, hey, you need a night guard. I didn't realize how often I was doing it and how much of an impact it could have on my health. Clenching your jaw can cause full misalignment. And therefore, from my understanding, in my left side, there's a disc that is between the joint and I guess the ear canal. I could totally be saying this wrong, but there is a joint in there, or I'm sorry, there's a disc. And so if that disc gets inflamed or if it gets moved, it obviously is going to cause issues in my vestibular system. And so I was like, cool. So like I did this to myself. Like I caused this myself. All these months, all these past 5 months, I didn't realize how far gone in depersonalization I had gone. Like when I now currently think back and look back on the last 5 months, I don't remember where I was, who I was, what I talked about, what I did. Like I didn't realize that in the moment. Like I thought I was fine. But when I think about the last 5 months, I have an out of body experience where I am looking down upon myself, just laying there rotting and just trying to like honestly stay alive. And I know that that sounds extreme, but like that's what it was, to like keep myself safe and to like keep myself alive. And that's really, really terrifying for me. I've always prided myself on having this like super like innate strength and like knowing how to control my anxiety, but like I only knew how to control the emetophobia side of my anxiety. Like I didn't know how to control this side of my anxiety. Like I've never encountered this before. I've, again, never been on medication, so I've had no help. It's just been my brain, and I've always been able to do it like by myself. And that's why I was upset with myself, because I was like, what happened, Sarah? Like, what did you do? Like, where did you go wrong? Like, how did you not stick with this for the last five months? Like, how did you not realize that you literally were like a second alternate version of yourself? Like, it makes me so sad. And also I've been given this year, you know, with like little weddings, I've been given this year to like be able to like be, spend so much time with Avi, spend so much time with Freeman, spend so much time with Fletcher and like do stuff that I haven't been able to do for like so long. And like, here I am lame and I can't even do these things. Like I can't even do anything. It just, it's really scary. Like I really just started to accept the fact that I was going to be like that forever. And I was just going to have to learn how to operate that way forever. I was going to have to photograph weddings like that forever, or I would just have to give up and I would have to like literally stop my life. And I was like, just no, like I cannot let this happen. Like this cannot be it. But that dark, dark matter of those thoughts just won every single freaking day. So I'm happy to say though and report that now I am getting myself into physical therapy, vestibular therapy, to just help get myself back to a more balanced state. But since I've been focusing on the TMJ only specifically, I am starting to see a little bit less of the dizziness, which is really awesome because with the like hypochondria too, all of those months of me feeling all of these like so-called symptoms, I'm saying this like with quotations around them. Sometimes like in the world of hypochondria, you convince yourself that you're feeling something so much to the point that you actually feel it. It's like almost like a ghost symptom. And so it's really, really nice to be able to have a little bit better of an understanding of like what actually is going on. And so focusing on the TMJ has been beneficial and making me feel a little bit less dizzy. And then I'm also happy to report that next week I will be going to my doctor to finally get put on an SSRI because I just can't do this by myself anymore. You know, it's really, really hard. As an emetophobic, as somebody who is afraid of getting sick, it's really hard for me to put foreign medications in my body that I've never put in my body before because it could cause me to be sick. But I'm really motivated and I have my Zofran, so, you know, always have Zofran on hand. But I'm really hopeful that like this is going to be a new beginning for myself. When the solar eclipse happened on April 8th, I don't know what it was. I'm super in tune spiritually, just like astrologically, I'm very much into astrology, but like I woke up and was like, today is a new freaking day and I'm not letting this control me anymore. I'm not. And that was a week ago. And I felt really dizzy that day, but I did everything in my power to ignore it and to stay focused. And I did a really, really beautiful tarot reading for myself. And I got so many answers and just had an entirely new perspective and motivation and strength going into this new chapter of my health. And so with all these health issues, right, I had to sit back in my business and just drive it autopilot and let it just do its thing. And I spent a lot of time in those first couple of months, obviously just watching social media, seeing all the things that people are doing, and essentially watching the world go on without me. And it felt really weird. It felt really, really unsettling. And it was definitely new territory of emotion for me within my business because it was just uncontrollable and there was nothing that I could do about it. There was nothing that I could do to fix it. I couldn't pay somebody to be my social media manager. Like I couldn't pay somebody to be my content creator. I didn't have money for that. And so I just had to like let the world do its thing. And I learned a lot the last couple of months about how much value I put in myself based upon my social media presence and the engagement. I spent so many years making myself known back in the day on social media to the point that I didn't even know myself anymore. Like, I didn't know who I was. Like, I didn't know what I enjoyed to do. Like, I had like my likes, but I didn't have hobbies. Like, my hobby was just trying to make myself known, which is like literally what everybody is doing, even more so now today, even more so than 2018. It's now TikTok. It's constant reels. It's constant videos. It's threads. It's literally all of it. And it wasn't healthy back in the day when I was putting so much emphasis and so much effort and so much of my identity into the social media world. It was really toxic and not a sustainable way of living. Like, that shit's gonna end. Like, I'm gonna get older. I'm not gonna be in the wedding industry anymore. Like, we all are. We're all gonna hit our points, you know? But it's like so sad because Instagram to me in these last couple of months of me being able to like sit back and just like watch all y'all keep doing all your things. It is so high school. It really, really is. The wedding industry is high school. Like, community over competition isn't really real until you're actually a healthy, healed human and business owner. So for all these unhealed people that are just doing all these things, it's just a place to get your ego filled. And this is like a realization that I've had, yes, in the last couple of months, but like more so over like the last couple of years. The only way I felt filled back in the day was getting likes and getting engagement and getting reshares and getting DMs and just getting messages from people that like I did not know. And I had so much of my identity invested in this just digital land of nothingness, no true love, no true connection. Like, yes, I know that social media, like I'm not trying to like sit here and just like full out shit talk, but you know, I like to keep it real. Like, social media really is fake. Like, we know this, right? Like, true connection is very rare when it comes to that app. It really is. And also our industry, like our wedding industry, like, like I know this firsthand, like it is very toxic and it is not a place where every single connection you make is going to be a genuine one. So as I sat back, you know, these last couple of months and just see everybody doing the things and making the reels and making the TikToks and things like that, it left me feeling really guilty. Even with everything that I just said, it left me feeling so incredibly guilty, and just my lack of performance defined me as a business owner. And it's really hard to, like, it's really, really hard to keep up with the trends. It is like every day there is something new. And I couldn't even function or operate that way. Like, to be able to like follow the trends when I was healthy, and now being unhealthy, I was like, damn, like this is impossible for me. But is that bad? Like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, is this gonna make me book less couples? Like, is this going to make me look like a bad business owner? Is this going to like make me so undervalued compared to everybody else doing all of these things? It's just so hard to stand out in this industry when there are just so many people doing so many things. And this is where that sneaky little imposter syndrome comes in, you know, because you're like, well, you know, this person's only been in business for 2 years and I've been in business for 15 years. And like, how do they already have 25,000 followers? And I've literally stayed at like the same number for like the past 5 years, you know? It really starts to like mess with your self-esteem, and it starts to control your thoughts, and it starts to just really, really dampen your spirit and your creative soul, and just tells you that you are absolutely not good enough. Like, I know you guys relate, like, especially you wedding photographers, like, I know you guys know exactly what I am talking about. And it's just like an overload of information and content to just digest. It's like just an overstimulation to my nervous system, you know, scrolling and like seeing and being like, okay, well, what can I do with this? What can I do with that? Like, am I really focusing all of my brain power as a business owner into that? like, is that really what matters? Like, these are all my thoughts that I'm thinking for like these last 5 months. And like this, like all of these thoughts, I was like, this is how I know that I have invested in the years. I have invested way too much of my identity in my business. My worth is not content. It's not the quality of my content. My worth is not getting 500 likes or getting 25,000 followers. My worth comes from my actual clients and the time and effort and love that I invest in those wedding experiences with them. It took me a long time to learn that, but it's true. And so I just want to really like encourage you guys with this, because I see this happening all the time, especially more so now, especially with the newer photographers. I'm speaking more so to you guys. I hope you all understand, coming from somebody who has, again, been in this industry for 15 years, it is important, it is vital that you take some moments and take some breaths and take some pauses to make sure that you are not investing every ounce of your identity into your business. Now, I want to specify and say, I'm not talking about investing all of your identity into your brand. Yes, there is part of your identity that should definitely be in your brand. I'm talking about making sure that your entire business does not contain the entire face of you. It does not hold every single secret, hold every single hobby. There should be part of you that is reserved for you and your family and your partner and your children, if you have them, and for yourself. And take it from me, somebody who the last 5 months was forced to stop, like forced to just be on autopilot and do what I need to do. Life's gonna happen. It's gonna happen to you. Are you gonna be prepared for it? You may have something health happen to you where you break an arm or something and like you're forced to like take a step back. Don't let it get to that point for you to realize like, oh shit, like who am I apart from my business? Like, what do I like to do on my off time? It shouldn't be your off time, your off days. It shouldn't be you either like creating content or anything related to your business or the industry. It should be solely focused on you. And maybe it's like picking up a new hobby. Maybe it is investing some time into like a gardening club or crocheting, or maybe volunteering at the library, like maybe even trying to make your own cold brew or coffee. Like it could literally be anything, but we're humans. We all have likes. We all have things that we, you know, enjoy to do. And there's so much quiet, like healing that happens. I think when you invest your time into little things like that, it helps cut some of those strings that are so closely tied to your business. Like for me this year, I decided, I was like, okay, I'm going to read. I've always struggled to be a reader and invest time into reading. And so I'm like, this year, I'm going to read. I'm going to read 50 books this year. And I'm currently at 10, I think. And so that's huge. Like, even if I don't get to 50, that's fine. But like, I have found so much escape from reality, from reading fiction novels. And you could feel that feeling too, whether it's reading or, like I said, volunteering at a library or making cold brew or gardening. Like, it could be anything that you enjoy to do. Another place to focus your attention is on the client. Very, very simple. On the client, on the wedding experience. And I know that that's still business, but it's not investing into the industry at large. It is the individualized human beings that have invested in you, which you should be equally investing in them, their needs, their priorities. You know, they're not, I promise you, like they are not sitting around waiting to see you do like the newest or coolest trend. Like they're not like twiddling their thumbs being like, oh my gosh, I wonder like when Sarah's gonna like, what she's gonna like make out of this trend. I know that some people enjoy it when you do it. So I'm not trying to like be a negative Nancy with this, but when you can't show up and do the trends and do the reels, it's not going to let anyone down except for yourself. So just don't let it. So in closing, I really want you guys to just sit. I want you to close your eyes. And I just want you to think about all of the parts of you, every layer of you, the connections that you've made with people outside of your business life, outside of the wedding industry, the memories that you've made, the likes that you have, the hobbies that you have, the kids that you have, the quiet moments, the in-between moments, all of those things that will go on forever. And I want you to just sit with that. That is precious. Those things are super freaking precious. And honestly, the social media world, it doesn't deserve all of you. I'm not saying that you need to like limit every single part of you. Like, I'm speaking, coming from somebody who's very transparent online, but there's parts of me that I don't share. There's parts of me that I don't post, because I have learned over the years that if I put every ounce of my identity into my business and into the social media world and into the wedding industry, that I will never be fully fulfilled. I won't. I'm setting myself up for failure, and I don't want you guys to either. I know it's hard and I know it's easy at the same time, but it's possible. And it's important to think about this and to relish in this now before it's too late. I really love all of you. I love all humans. I'm so happy that you are here. I really, you know, this is really truly just this platform, this podcast platform is, like I've said a million times, it is here for me to share my lessons learned with all of you. It's story time too, but like this is knowledge that I wish I would have known in the beginning. And so if you are a photographer that is newer and you have questions about this or any of my other episodes or anything, please know that I am always very much okay with you DMing me, emailing me, asking me questions, or even just sharing your thoughts or your concerns. Very much open to all of that. And I'm just here to help. I'm really, really here to help. I just want to help people in the way that I was not helped throughout my entire business ownership. And that, my friends, is a wrap on today. So to keep it in short, to close this off, promise me you will not make your entire identity your entire business. So super excited to flow into the next segment of today's podcast episode. And if you missed it on episode 2, I started a new segment. It's called Mental Health Music Minute, and super short, but this is just where I will share a song that has lyrics that are extremely resonate with me. Maybe it could be like where I'm at in my life right now. Maybe it could be collectively, but it generally revolves around anxiety, depression, mental health, all that fun stuff. So if that's something you're interested in, stick around. Okay, welcome to Mental Health Music Minute, where I share lyrics from songs that just fully resonate, and maybe they resonate for you too, but they are a part of me and just hit me in my gut and hit me in my soul. So I'm gonna read the lyrics and talk about how they really just tell a tale of where I'm at in my life right now. So today's song, I know that a lot of you are going to know this, especially if you are Boy Genius fans, and you probably already know what song it is as soon as I say Boy Genius. But given today's episode and it's speaking about anxiety and mental health and all of that, today's song is called Not Strong Enough. I'm going to read the lyrics first and then give you guys a little bit of my interpretation of how this applies to me. Black hole opened in the kitchen, every clock's a different time. It would only take the energy to fix it. I don't know why I am the way I am, not strong enough to be your man. I tried, I can't stop staring at the ceiling fan and spinning out about things that haven't happened, breathing in and out. When I first heard this song, when this album came out, I think it was like March of 2023, so like last year, I sobbed. I was in my car and I cried, because it was so simply put to me the visualization of anxiety, but like my specific kind of anxiety, like it just feels endless. Anxiety feels so endless, and it feels like it should be such a like such a easy solution to just like, you know, get up and, you know, like just make it work and just fix it, like just figure it out. But when you are a human who suffers with severe anxiety and all the other flavors that come with it, like it's not easy. It's not. It's dark and it's heavy and it freaking sucks. And these lyrics for me sum up, it literally paints a picture of what my brain feels like often. Having a black hole open up in the kitchen, like anxiety is literally the fear of things that have yet to happen. You know, depression, I forget like how my therapist has worded it in the past, so I'm probably not gonna like say this correctly, but like depression is like the emotions and feelings that have to do with like the past, and anxiety is all of the things that have to do with like the future. And I mean, not that I'm like walking around thinking that a black hole is going to open up in my kitchen, but it's a really good analogy of me walking around thinking that like I'm going to be hit by a car while I'm walking outside in the street, or somebody is going to, trying to like apply it to like having a wedding, like somebody is going to like just all of a sudden be like, I hate you, I don't want you to be our wedding photographer. Like it's all of these anxious thoughts, it's all of these what ifs. That black hole is just like what ifs for me. And the clock's a different time, like every clock's a different time is when I think of like seeing, now again this is just me, but like when I think of seeing like three clocks in a room and they're all displaying a different time, it, my anxiety tells me that I don't know reality and I'm not in reality, and that I can't trust anyone, and I can't even trust a single clock to be able to tell me what time it actually is, because my anxiety will tell me that it's not that time. And then we get into, you know, it would only take the energy to fix it. Yeah, it would only take the energy. It would only take a little ounce of energy. Where am I supposed to get that energy from? I don't always have that energy. And so when people are like, you know, in society, when they're just like, just deal with it, especially like the older generation, when they're just like, just deal with it, like, just figure it out. Like, it's not that hard. That's not true. That's not how these things go. And it'd be great if I could just wake up and be like, oh, I have the energy today, I'm gonna do this. Like every day if I could wake up and do that. But that's just not realistic for somebody who suffers with prolonged anxiety. You know, the lyrics say here, I don't know why I am the way I am. And I'd be lying if I said those thoughts have not crossed my mind a million times. And I know that you probably all just relate with this. I feel like this is, again, such a simple line, but such a heavy line at the same time. Like, I've spoken to myself like in panic attacks before. I've spoken out loud and I've said like, why me? Like, why does this have to be me? Like, why can't I be plagued with something else? Like, why do I have to suffer? Like, why am I the way that I am? Like, why do I have to be like this? And it's really, in the context of all of these other lyrics, like it's really hard to be able to speak to yourself out loud like that and not be able to like give yourself that answer, you know, not strong enough to be your man. I tried. I can't stop staring at the ceiling fan, spinning out about things that haven't happened. All of that, just all of that. Not strong enough to be your man. The constant guilt that we feel, just stricken with anxiety of not being good enough for anyone, anywhere, at any time. And, you know, like it says, I tried, I can't stop staring at the ceiling fan. And that line hits so much deeper now, since I've suffered through with depersonalization and not knowing my right hand from my left hand, and just finding myself, like there were times that I found myself in the last 5 months just staring out a window, not even realizing that I am literally just staring, and then being like, oh, wait, I was doing something. It's not fun. It really isn't. And lastly, spinning out about things that haven't happened, breathing in and out. Obviously, spinning out about things that haven't happened. That's what I said. That's exactly what anxiety is. It's just all of these scenarios of things. And there's scenarios of things that aren't even happening right now, that couldn't even happen right now. There's scenarios of things that could happen like 20 years from now, but they still exist in my mind. They still take up so much space. And so lastly, breathing in and out. I just have to remember to breathe. And honestly, I have found a couple different breathing techniques that have been really helpful for when I'm in panic attacks. One of them being breathing in slowly for 4 counts, holding for 4 counts, and exhaling for 4 counts. That actually has been a game changer for in the middle of like my panic attacks. It's been really, really helpful. So I hope that you got something out of this. For those of you that know Boy Genius, I know this song hits for a lot of us fans of them, of the boys. And I just love you all. And I'm holding you all in my heart, your struggles in my heart. And I'm going to play the song for you guys now. And I hope that you enjoy. Black hole.